Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for the KE Report, the political end of it. Actually, I'm more apt to start calling it the moral end of it. You know, I read an article in Imprimis, which is a publication of Hillsdale College. It's got a circulation over 5.7 million readers a month. This particular article that I got my information from, which is just more actually common sense, was written by Mark Stein. It's entitled, Our Increasingly Unrecognizable Civilization. There are some very interesting things going on in the world today that I think have really started in the United States, and it scares the daylights out of me. One of them is the unlawful conduct that is causing us to virtually not have a southern border. The government has not recognized the constitutional law that says that there are certain things that must be met, certain criteria that must be met for immigrants. Our current executive branch refuses to even call the immigrants illegal immigrants, even though by the very definition of what those people are doing, it is they are illegal. There's no question about that. That's simply breaking the law. The government is not supporting the law. The second thing is what's going on in the schools. We are breaking a moral law. There are certain items that are stated specifically in the Bible regarding homosexual behavior and regarding transgender individuals. That is being totally accepted right now because the government mandates it. That's fine. They believe it. What I am saying is, as a Christian, I cannot go along with that. I would choose to break, I would choose to offend the government as opposed to offending the Lord. We need politicians with a sense of urgency of that problem, but all they seem to have a sense of urgency of is about things that aren't urgent. For example, climate change. Climate change, in my opinion, and some of you may differ in your opinions, is not something that's really urgent right now. What is urgent right now is that, according to Mr. Stein, that Mark Stein, who wrote this article, which I have posted on the website with permission of Hillsdale College, the number one problem facing us today politically is actually the rise of China. China is getting to be incredibly strong, and China is calling the shots pretty much in America. It's funny, even the French really don't agree with us on some of our moral stances. Jim, you and I have been talking about this for quite some time now. I agree with you. You agree with me. Give us some comments on what's going on in the world today, specifically in America.
I think it's an interesting point. The rest of the world, especially the Western world, they're very strong, actually everywhere in the world, very strong on borders. Yep. Because that means sovereignty. If you have control of your government and you have control of your borders, then you can make decisions about your future and your the way you want to manage your people or as a government, that we are undermining here through our own government. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it doesn't.
The most repressive regimes in the world have even tighter control borders. And what I think it comes right down to people that have an idea that a borderless world would be better for the world because you could move and transfer goods, services, and labor as needed. And who thinks that? Globalists. Globalists are funding and supporting and buying off leadership in our nation in order to achieve their goals. Yep. Of open borders and transfer of wealth as they wish without concern. And it's interesting because, yeah, many other nations are just saying this is ridiculous. And one of the ways they're doing it I would say, even divert people's attention is through these other shiny objects that they're chasing off to the side, like gender, racial discrimination, you know, critical race theory, and what's happening in schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's being used as a tool to alienate a category of people that are actually concerned about the future of America in order to achieve corporate globalist agendas that pay individuals off very handsomely that buy into it.
Well, I want to say one thing, Jimmy. I want to elaborate on one thing. I want to elaborate on one facet of globalism, I suppose. Globalism, as you just defined it, of course, is detrimental to America. If you define globalism as America simply helping other people, I'm all for that, but not at our detriment as it's been going on right now. The only people, it seems to me, who are benefiting from globalism are the very, very wealthy. I want to read something here and give credit to Mark Stein and Imprimis, a publication. Mark says, the things our news media talk about increasingly, whether it's transgender bathrooms or Confederate statues being toppled, or the totally dishonest national conversation on race, nothing like this is heard in China as it goes along steadily strengthening its position as the world's leading power. I don't want to get depressed. I have a situation right now that I'm dealing with, as our regular listeners are unaware, that has the potential of being depressing enough. I have dealt with that situation. I am not depressed. I'm following the conversation that I'm having with the Lord on that, and it is helping me. We need to have that same conversation with the Lord on a national level. Jimmy, you got the final word, and you know what? You've got some time here. You've got 2 minutes.
Yeah, I think that moral values and integrity are essential for any successful endeavor, any successful life. And I think that you're right, you know, that conversation with a higher belief in value and something more important than ourselves and our money and our income and our power is important for America to step back and say, you know what, I've got to look at something more important or we'll lose the value of this nation. The Chinese are not holding back, and they have no moral code mm-hmm. other than what the government imposes on people. And I would like to remind everybody that our government is here to protect our rights. We're not here to protect our government. And I think that people in Washington have lost touch with that. I think they're being driven by media that's being driven by corporate agendas. And if we don't come back to something that says, hey, America has a foundation that is absolutely beneficial to individual rights and to mankind, that we're going to lose our future very rapidly and be a blip in history that of this great nation and this great experiment that failed because of failure to understand the attacks against it.
Well, it would appear, Jim, that this nation, the way we are organized, the way that organization is going right now, more importantly, the way the philosophy in America is going right now, which is certainly not biblical, is really hurting our country, in my opinion. Nobody helps people more than I do, and I can prove that categorically by my actions. I am very, very much against what's going on right now because I'm very, very much against people like, I don't want to give any names here because I have no proof, I have only an opinion. Let's not tear America down, ladies and gentlemen. Let's basically make it continue to be the great country that it always has been. Jimmy, always a pleasure. Thanks, man.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend, Al.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for another segment of the KER Report. This is a regular segment that we have on our weekly radio program. It's comments on the future of the markets, specifically precious metals and the conventional markets. Thank God we have a resident expert in Richard Postma. Doc, I have a question for you. You study the markets from a technical standpoint very, very closely. Your accuracy is uncannily accurate. Give us again your opinion on the future of the price of an ounce of gold, would you?
The future, Al, of a price of an ounce of gold. Well, it's hard to say, but it's going to be a lot higher in the future.
Yeah,
we're in a long-term bull market with bear market corrections, and the only reason for that is the persistence of our Federal Reserve to keep printing money, and they have to keep printing money. Our economy is such where now it's a planned economy. It's no longer a normal supply-demand economy that we saw years ago, and they put us in that position because the humongous debts of the government and corporations and private individuals. And so they're going to have to keep interest rates low. They're going to have to keep printing money, although they say they're going to taper, but that doesn't tell me much at all, because if they start tapering, they're going to have to do the same thing they did last time, and that's to go back to printing money when the economy starts to take a dive.
Yeah. You know, I opened the program with some opinions from myself and Jim McKinney about our country. Our country is very definitely turned into a very secular situation. We no longer follow the Judeo-Christian principles that formed our country and, in my opinion, really made it great. Is that fact going to hurt, in your opinion, the conventional market and the precious metals markets?
Well, eventually, the conventional market is going to have to see its reckoning as well. But from a technical standpoint, the monthly, what we call MACD, which is a momentum indicator, is the highest I've seen it.
And that means?
About my lifetime.
Yeah, and that
and
means?
That means that this market is overbought tremendously, mm-hmm. as compared to any other market. Now it can stay overbought for a long time, but eventually we're going to have to pay the piper. And I don't know what's going to do it, but it's going to have to come to an end, just like the late 1990s, mm-hmm. when we had that tech craziness.
Yeah.
But see, the problem is, you know, you say, well, can this market keep going up in the face of money printing forever? Mm-hmm. And we don't know that answer yet, Al. We'll see, though, because it's going to get to the point where all of these assets that have been built, that have been bidded up by this methodology, they're going to have to eventually have a comeuppance.
You know, Doc, I have to tell you, I'm very, very concerned about the markets right now because I am retired, and part of my income, I don't want to say necessarily, well, I would have to say a meaningful part of my income happens to come from my returns in the markets. And if the markets go south, I have to tell you, I'm covered, I believe, because I have a great investment advisor handling that money. But I have to tell you, I don't know if anybody is good enough to prevent significant losses as many people had in their IRAs back in the late 1990s.
Yeah, and you know, the same problem exists, and probably in a greater way, because of our public sector, mm-hmm. and the unions there. They already are underwater, and if this market goes, and that's just another reason that the Fed can't let it take a tumble, because the public pension funds are at real risk because they haven't even kept up.
Yep.
And so if we have a drop in the markets, it's going to be really a negative and a meaningful event for them. And we're just in a horrible catch-22 right now.
Yeah, we are. You know, what's interesting about that, and we mentioned this in the earlier segment, segment five, or the first segment of the KER report, that we are very concerned about the future of China. China is rapidly becoming the most powerful nation in the world. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, they passed us in GDP a couple of years ago, I believe.
Right.
Of course, they have more people.
Yeah.
And in their middle class is starting to burgeon. And China, that cat was let out of the barn by the globalists in this country and in the Western societies. And now the question is, okay, what do you do about it?
Right.
And if they're naive enough to think that they're going to join, you know, the Western mindset in how they run their economies, I think they're going to be disappointed, because a lot of those people thought, well, we'll make a lot of money off of China, too.
Individually,
with high net worth people by moving their businesses over there. But you don't think ultimately, even if they did, that the Chinese wouldn't nationalize them once they became more powerful? Of course they would.
Yep.
So once you let that cat out of the barn, it's out now, and they're going to become a real competitor in the financial markets, and ultimately militarily, although one really wonders how they're going to handle that, because they have the same political entities in their own government as we do in our government. You got the hardliners, you got the moderates, and who knows how they will react in the future eventually.
Well, my opinion on that is I don't think China wants to mess with the minutia, and they already control the U.S., in my opinion, to a very large extent. And I have to say that I think that's all they're looking for, and they got it now already.
Yeah, they and you know, they always have their 5-year plans. They just came out with it again, but they're very forward looking, and they know exactly what they want to accomplish. But we have this problem where we can't decide what we're going to do in the next 5 minutes,
right?
In our political atmosphere, so they're continuing to move forward at a rapid pace in the United States. The empire, I think, Al, is starting to wane.
The empire is starting to wane. I mean, even the French, who have been incredibly laissez-faire in many issues, are really kind of looking at the United States with their emphasis on secular things, and they're actually kind of laughing at us, as I am too. Thank God I have a grounding in the Judeo-Christian principles that I have. Doc, want to get you back on the radio program next week. You're a wealth of information.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for the second half of the KER Report. Got my buddy Marshall Barrel on the line with me right now. Marshall, like Dan Pacini, also lives in the Bay Area. He is in San Francisco itself. Mr. and Mrs. Barrel actually have the honor of living about 2 or 3 blocks away from Nancy Pelosi, very possibly one of their favorite politicians. That is a joke. Marshall, I'd like to get your opinion, which I'm also going to solicit from Dan Pacini here as soon as you and I are done. Can you tell me what you think? The executive branch has been in the hands, supposedly, of Joe Biden now since January. Is he doing a good job? And if not, why?
Well, I don't think he's doing a good job. I don't care for his policies. They mainly seem to be directed towards changing and reversing anything that the President Trump did or President Trump's administration. And what we're seeing is not moving the country forward. And in his inauguration, he spoke of unity and bringing the country together. And unfortunately, he and his administration are not doing that. And I think you do bring up a very interesting point about whose administration it really is. Certainly, Joe Biden is the figurehead, but it's a real question about who's calling the shots, who's pulling the strings. But no, I don't think domestically or in foreign policy, he's taking the country in the direction it should be going.
Marshall, let's talk initially here a little bit about domestically. We have a law that there are certain procedures that have to be followed in order for people to immigrate into the United States. That law, which is constitutional, is not even close to being fulfilled on our southern border. Any comments on that?
No, well, I think your observation are absolutely correct. There are immigration laws on the books. They've been followed in varying degrees by past administrations for the last, 15 or 20 years. I think the current, the majority of the current immigration laws have been in effect since the, I believe, the mid-80s. And so they've been followed to varying degrees, but the Trump administration sought to have immigration be legal immigration. There are laws that provide how you can immigrate to the United States from another country, and the Trump administration sought to enforce those and to minimize the number of illegal people coming across the southern border. And Biden got in office, and the first day he issues executive orders that basically took apart the control over the southern border and took apart the procedures for coming into this country legally and the procedures for deporting people who were in this country illegally. And he has taken those apart. We see reports, continuous reports about the numbers of people that are coming in illegally across the southern border, and that it's a number of them are apprehended, but a large number are not. And I think that's one of the keys, and unfortunately the media doesn't, most of the media doesn't make any differentiation between legal immigration into this country and illegal immigration. The, you know, it was pointed out that many of us, most of us, are here as a result of immigration from other countries around the world.
Yeah.
By our parents or grandparents or the individuals themselves, but they came in legally. And another unfortunate aspect of just opening up the southern border and these people pouring across and paying thousands of dollars to
coyotes.
Across the southern border is that it disrespects the people that are trying to do it legally and that maybe have been waiting in line in their home country to get admitted into the United States legally. And the fact that the most of the media and certainly the Democrats no differentiation between legal immigration into the United States and illegal immigration is very unfortunate, in my opinion, because it just cloudies the situation.
Yes, it really does. I want to ask you a question, Marcia. Now, you live in the heart of San Francisco. You are truly in the heart of San Francisco, and that is Cal Hollow, if I'm not mistaken. I'd like to, and you all, you and Vicky, your wife, are very active politically. I'd like to ask you a question, Marsh. The question is, Kamala Harris, give me a report card on how she did when she was in local political office in the state of California.
Well, in local office in San Francisco, she was elected a district attorney and did not, in my opinion, did not do a great job. Just a few days after she was elected, or a few weeks, there was a shooting of a policeman, a killing of a policeman in one of our neighborhoods that is a more difficult neighborhood. And she immediately announced that the death penalty was off the board. And in California, we had at that time the death penalty was a possibility, and particularly for shooting law or killing law enforcement officers. She immediately announced that the death penalty for the alleged killer was off the board because you can't get a death sentence in San Francisco. Well, that wasn't her job to decide that type of thing. Take it to into the court system, take it to a jury, and see what happens.
Let me ask you a question. Was the alleged shooter found guilty?
I believe so. I'm not sure on that, but I believe so. And then that just kind of set the tone for her administration as district attorney, and it was just not a good situation, and she didn't seem to really want to prosecute crime, which a district attorney is elected to do. And then she went on from that to become elected attorney general in California, and then senator, and now vice president. But she's showing that she just doesn't seem to have what it takes to hold a high position, and we'll see what happens in that regard.
Well, exactly. We'll see what happens. My personal opinion, as listeners are aware, is I'm not going to jump to any conclusions. I'm going to wait for a month or so and then give my opinion on how the administration is doing. The only thing that I'm unhappy about is I have three daughters, one of whom does not respect the law whatsoever, and the other two do. They are not particularly conservative, but they believe the law, constitutional law, is meant to be followed. Mr. Barrow, I'm going to get you back on the show. Thanks. Hey, welcome in here to wrap up the KE Report. You know, I have made a commitment to listeners and to myself, I suppose I have to say. When the election results came in, which I happened to question earlier this year, I said that I was not going to give an opinion of the new executive branch until September, and I'm going to hold to that. But that doesn't mean that that absolutely does not mean that my guests have to do that. You know, a publication of Hillsdale College called Imprimis, which has over 5.7 million readers every month, came out with a very interesting article by a gentleman called Mark Stein. Mark wrote an article entitled "Our Increasingly Unrecognizable Situation." Mark is highly respected in the area of political knowledge. I'm going to ask my friend from Marin County, Dan Pacenti, to comment on the current state of our civilization here in America. Dan is a portfolio manager, as I said, in Marin County. He has been published frequently in the Wall Street Journal on the op-ed page. I respect his opinion. Dan, what do you think about what Mr. Stein said about the increasingly unrecognizable situation that we live in right now?
Well, I would echo some of the same things. I'm concerned by this, by what's going on in this country. The increasing creeping socialism that we have currently, and particularly from this administration, they are trying to ingrain socialism into our country by having giveaways through the tax code, having these permanent structures where they pay people to live a basic minimum income, a high minimum wage, all these various systems that are designed because they think you're stupid. They really do. They think you're stupid. And they're also creating a lot of hateful interactions among people. They're making us tribalist type of a culture. And it's going to be very difficult for us to interact with each other. But if we don't do something about it, if good people of the right don't speak up, or don't cower in the face of this, I think we're going to have increasing problems.
Well, you certainly have problems down in the Bay Area, specifically in my formerly favorite city in North America, San Francisco. It's my understanding that in San Francisco, Nancy Pelosi's home city, that lives very close to a good friend of ours, Marshall Beryl, by the way, who will also be on the show this weekend. How could she let that go on? The city is dangerous, and the city is totally unsanitary. Comments, Dan?
Well, you would barely recognize San Francisco. It has become quite violent. The outdoors are like a bathroom. There's a lot of private behavior acting out in public. There are violent, mentally ill people there on the street screaming loudly. We had an office there for 30 years, and they would come into the office and wander in aimlessly, and we had people have things stolen. And finally, on January 31st of 2020, just out of pure luck, pure serendipity, without even understanding this COVID pandemic was going to happen, we moved our office out to Marin County and left the city. And I got to tell you, it's just so much easier to conduct business, to live peacefully, to be out of that city. I mean, some 70-plus car break-ins a day. I mean, a day. They release violent criminals out on the streets. They went to this cashless bail. It's nuttiness. There are some component of a society that is violent. There's some component that is a law-breaking component. And they have to be restrained in some fashion. And you want to be sympathetic to people, and maybe some of it's due to circumstance. Maybe it's just the way they're wired. But some people have to be restrained, and you have to keep them in a jail. That just is something you have to do. And their argument is, on the left, is that that these people typically come from poverty, can't afford the bail, et cetera. It's not fair to them, whereas a wealthy person can pay the bail and get out. Well, that may or may not be true in a lot of circumstances, but they have to be restrained, and the population has to be able to live. And it's not a workable situation. And unfortunately, the left is trying to create a circumstance where we all live in these type of cities. They'd like us to live in cities, in close structures, and, you know, where we're close to city centers, and we're all using public transportation, we're all close to each other, and then we're all affected by this type of thing. And that's why you see people moving out of the cities, moving out of these dangerous areas. But San Francisco is a colossal mess. And I got to tell you, since we moved out of there January 31st, 2020, I've been back into the city proper. You wouldn't even say I've been in the city proper, but I've been back to the city twice just to use the airport. And that's it. And I won't go back in there because until they get their act together, I certainly wouldn't bring family into there. But these are the kinds of structures they would like to enact all around the country.
Dan, I got to ask you a question. We've got about we've actually got 4 minutes left here. My question, my friend, is purely and simply, what's the motive in your opinion?
What's the motive? You know, it's hard to understand the left. I got to be honest with you. They I guess you'd have to go with their primary theme, which is equity. And I think it's caused them to be misguided. This notion that we should all end up with an equal result. wow, think through that for a moment. It might sound good on the surface. It might sound like, oh, hey, we're concerned about everybody getting, you know, getting to the same place. But we're not built that way. Humans just aren't built that way. We come to the table with different abilities. Some of us are taller. Some of us are stronger. Some of us are faster. Some of us are smarter. That's just the way it is, you know, and we're very fortunate in that way, because the smarter people, for example, develop drugs, other innovations that we use day to day, and that make all of our lives better, that make all of us live longer and live healthier, that, you know, that bring real excitement to life. And so some people get enhanced greater than others. Some people are much wealthier than us. I've never worried about that. I've never worried that someone got to a place better than what I've gotten to. Because frankly, if our society is based on merit, they deserved it. And that's fine. I can still do quite well, even though I don't do as well as, say, a Jeff Bezos. I don't have houses all over the world like Jeff Bezos. But he deserved it. He created a system that I use all the time. I go to Amazon all the time. I don't like his politics one bit. But he created a system through his own hard work and sacrifice and intelligence that we all benefit from. So this notion of equity, it's got to go away. It's a mistake. Equality is what we were based on, and that's the one that we ought to be pursuing. We ought to make sure everybody's got equal opportunity, and then see where the chips fall. And I think we'll all do very well that way. We're losing this country. We really are. Ben Franklin was right. If you can keep it, he was right. We are losing it. I think that the current culture has existed under this belief, because they've lived under it all their lives. They've lived under this belief that we're entitled to wealth and peace and this great structure that we have. But we aren't entitled to it. You can lose it. And the left, this pernicious left, they're doing everything they can to divide this country. They'd like to argue that Trump was responsible for the divide. Trump isn't responsible for it at all. Trump never called for anybody to hate another person based on their race or their identity or any of their beliefs. He never called for any such thing. But they do, and they do it all the time. They've banned conservatism. They've essentially told you that the conservatives, anybody that has certain types of views, are to be hated. They're vile people. They're Nazis. Well, what do you do with people like that? You treat them violently. You know, that's what they would like. That's a really dangerous thing. We need an interchange of ideas. We need to have an open culture. They're afraid of free speech. Honestly, the left used to be one of their big things, free speech. And they're afraid of it. They're absolutely afraid of it. They seem to be very pro our intelligence community. They're into spying on people, to destroying them. That used to be another one of their things. They never felt that you could be unlawfully searched and have things seized from you. They never felt that way. But now
Dan,
they do.
Dan, you've made your point, and I truly appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, pretty obvious how Dan feels about that. If you want to see Dan back on the program, just let me know, and I'll get him on as often as I can. Thanks, Mr. Pacini.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.